The seven sayings of Jesus from the cross. Over the past few weeks, we've looked at these seven sayings that were spoken at the greatest event in history, the moment that Jesus gave his life as the sacrifice for our sins. Now, many of us know that that moment when Jesus was hanging on the cross was the most brutal, the most painful form of execution that man had ever conceived. It was so brutal that Roman citizens weren't allowed to be executed in this way. Imagine having a form of execution that was so bad that you would only reserve it for your enemies. Jesus, being nailed to a cross, says seven different things while he's hanging there. And each one of those things points out something about his character, about the character of God, about Jesus' mission, about what he was accomplishing. And it's insights into not only the historical nature of the event, because this was not an accident. God had planned it for thousands of years. But it was an insight into the heart of God. Each of these phrases is significant. Now, this one is challenging. I'm going to tell you this right off the bat. In terms of looking at the statements of Jesus from the cross, the one from last week, challenging. This one even more challenging. Why? Because at first glance, it's like that doesn't make any difference. It's one of those kind of throwaway statements. It's like, maybe in the grand scheme of things, it wouldn't have mattered had Jesus said this or not. Yet he did. What is the statement? Well, I want you to see it for yourself. This is in John chapter 19. You can go ahead and check it out with me. In the handout Bibles, it's on page 1087. John chapter 19, verse 28. And here's what it says. It says, later, that is after Jesus had hung on the cross. At this time, it's been about 3 hours into his crucifixion. It says, later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, he said these three words, I am thirsty. And a jar of wine vinegar was there, and so they soaked a sponge in it, and they put a sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and they lifted it to Jesus' lips. Would you pray with me? God, we need your help in understanding this. I pray, Lord, as we look at this, that you would call our minds to that cross on Calvary. And these words would be your words to us today about your character, about who you are, about what you have done. Holy Spirit, teach us now through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I am thirsty. At first glance, it doesn't seem like a big statement, but there's several things that I think we can learn from it. The first one is this. It's a reminder that Jesus thirsted because crucifixion was brutal. The first thing that we see here is that Jesus has been hanging on the cross for 3 hours. And during that time, the physical torture of the thing has been brutal. The nails in his hands holding him there, but the spike through his feet, that his body weight was so suffocating that he couldn't breathe unless he pushed up on that nail in his feet to just take a breath. And you imagine, after 3 hours, he's exhausted, he's thirsty. What we're reminded of first and foremost is that when Jesus says, I am thirsty, it reminds us that crucifixion is brutal. That he was suffering a great price on that cross. Jesus had been offered a drink before as he was going to the cross. In fact, in Mark chapter 15, it describes it. I'll put it on the screen. It says, they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he didn't take it. And so they crucified him, dividing up his clothes. They cast lots to see what each would get. Now, this is interesting because this verse, when it says that they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, in that day and age, that was like a painkiller. That was like something that they were trying to offer him to relieve his pain going into the crucifixion. Some generous, gracious people were like, hey, we want you to have some wine mixed with myrrh so that it'll take the edge off the crucifixion. They were trying to help. But what did Jesus say at that time? He didn't drink it. He didn't want it. Why? What was the reason that he was going to the cross? What was the reason that he was hanging there? It was to pay a price. It was to pay a price, a debt that he didn't deserve, but that we did. And that payment, that debt was a huge cost. And Jesus didn't want anything to take away from the weight of the payment that he would make for the sin of the world. And so on the way to the cross, he's offered a drink, but he refuses that because he doesn't want anything to take away from the sacrifice that he's going to make. But here in his final moments, he says, I am thirsty. And they offer him a drink, and it says it's wine vinegar. Now, we look at that and we say, man, that sounds gross. And it probably was. It's probably very bitter. It was cheap wine. It was the cheapest wine that you could get. And it's what the soldiers would have had as they were performing their duties in their little canteen, whatever their little, it was probably like the dried stomach of a pig or something. I don't know what it was, but they had their wine vinegar with them in their satchel because the water was not only rare, but if you drank it, since it was so shallow, you could get sick from drinking the water. And so as a Roman soldier, just as a person in that day, it wouldn't be uncommon for you to take wine vinegar, the cheap stuff, just so you'd have something to drink that wouldn't make you sick. And so here when Jesus takes this drink, it's because truly he has suffered greatly. He's exhausted. He's coming to the end. The second thing that we see here is that Jesus thirsted because he understands our suffering. This is so critical for us to understand that what Jesus is doing, hanging there on the cross, has huge theological implications because he is fully God and fully man. If Jesus had been only man, he was fully man, but there was no deity in him at all. If he was only man, then he would only know our suffering, but he wouldn't have the power to do anything about it. You understand that if Jesus was just a man, and by the way, our culture paints lots of different pictures of who Jesus is, and they want to define Jesus by different things. And so there's a lot of different religions around the world, and a lot of our culture today would say that Jesus was a good man, or that he was a teacher, or that he was a prophet, but they deny that he was the Son of God, that he was God incarnate, that he was fully God and fully man. But if Jesus was only a man, then he would suffer. He would understand our suffering, but he wouldn't have any power to do anything about it. On the other hand, if Jesus was only fully God, in other words, he was God, but he didn't have the human side. He wasn't also fully man. If he was only God, then he wouldn't know the suffering of what it means to be man. He wouldn't understand things like hunger. He wouldn't understand things like thirst. He wouldn't understand things like temptation. He wouldn't understand things like the betrayal of a friend. He wouldn't understand things like the death of a loved one. He wouldn't understand things like being so thirsty that his tongue sticks to the roof of his mouth. But since Jesus is both fully God and fully man, he both understands what it means to suffer and what it means to go through difficulty and trial, but he also has the power to do something about it. He both knows what it means to thirst, and he can provide the fountain that streams of living water flow from so that we can thirst no more. This is what Hebrews chapter 4 is so clear about. I'll invite you to turn there. You can keep your finger here in John 19 if you want to. But in Hebrews, go towards the end of your Bible, Hebrews chapter 4 talks about this. And it describes Jesus as being our high priest. In other words, in the Jewish tradition, the high priest was the one that went before God on behalf of the rest of the nation. And so it describes Jesus as in the language of him being our high priest, the one who goes before God on behalf of us. And in the handout Bibles, this is on page 1207. Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse 14. It says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. So let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. What is he saying? He's saying that since Jesus, our great high priest, was fully God and fully man, that he's been tempted in every way that we are. He understands temptation. He understands suffering. He understands hunger. He understands thirst. On the cross, Jesus, in his final moments, utters these words, I am thirsty. And it reminds us that not only was he doing the greatest divine act that God could ever do, but he was also experiencing the fullness of pain and suffering as any human would. Jesus thirsted because he understands our suffering. Did you catch the last part of that passage that we read? It says, so then let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. Because Jesus is who he is, we therefore can approach the throne of grace with confidence and find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. The third thing that I see from these three words of Jesus, I am thirsty. Third thing is this, that Jesus thirsted so that we can be refreshed. This is the substitution. This is Jesus taking our place. This is Jesus going to the cross, dying a death that he didn't deserve. In fact, taking the penalty that we deserved upon himself so that we can experience the freedom and the forgiveness of our sins. In a big picture, think about what this is all about. Okay, so you have Jesus dying a physical death so that we could experience spiritual life. Jesus dying a physical death so that we could experience spiritual life. In the same way, he was experiencing physical thirst so that we could experience spiritual refreshing. And this is what he said all along that he was going to do. In John chapter 7, this will be on the screen, verses 37 and 38. It says, on the last and the greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and he said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. In other words, long before Jesus ever went to the cross, he said exactly what he was going to do. He said that he was going to offer the way that we will never have to thirst again. But what price did he have to pay for us to experience the refreshment of our soul that comes from the living water that he provides? What payment did he have to pay? He had to thirst. On that cross, when Jesus says, I am thirsty, it's a reminder of the substitute. It's the reminder that Jesus was thirsty on that cross so that we never have to be spiritually thirsty again. What did he say? Listen, he said, whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. In other words, what Jesus offers is the refreshment for our soul that never runs dry. When you turn to Jesus, you never have to be spiritually thirsty again. He provides everything that we need, but it came at a great cost. And what was that cost? That his suffering on that cross. He said, I am thirsty. The fourth thing that it teaches us here is that Jesus thirsted because every word of God is true. What do I mean by that? You may recall a few weeks ago we talked about a phrase of Jesus that pointed us back to Psalm 22. If you want to turn there, you can. Psalm 22, right in the middle of your Bible. This is a psalm, but it's also a prophecy about Jesus. And several times as we've read through this account in the Gospel of John, it's referred back to this prophecy in Psalm chapter 22, page 547 in the handout Bibles. Psalm chapter 22 begins with this statement that was one of the statements of Jesus from the cross. And what was that? My God, why have you forsaken me? Those words that Jesus spoke when he spoke them were a direct quote of this Psalm chapter 22 that was written by David somewhere around 600 years before Jesus was even born. And when you read through Psalm 22, it's a near perfect description of what Jesus was going through. But here in Psalm 22, if you look at verse 15, what does it say? It says of this suffering Messiah that is to come, it says, my mouth is dried up like a potsherd, that is a broken piece of pottery, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. So what is this saying? You remember what John wrote in John 19 when we read that passage right at the beginning. It says that Jesus said this so that it would fulfill the prophecy. What is the prophecy that it was fulfilling? It's a continuation of Psalm chapter 22 where it says of the Messiah that would die, that he would be so thirsty that his tongue would stick to the roof of his mouth. And you say, well, that's not a very important detail in the story. I would argue that every detail, not only did God know it, not only did he plan it, but Jesus was faithful to every single detail. In the grand scheme of things, would it have mattered if we didn't have recorded or Jesus hadn't have said, I am thirsty? In the grand scheme of things, would that have mattered? Probably not. Probably not. But he did say it. And the reason why he said it was to fulfill every detail of God's plan. No stone left unturned. Everything completed. Every T crossed, every I dotted. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. And Jesus wanted us to know that indeed those words written were true. I am thirsty. The final thing that we see here, and as I was preparing for this message a couple weeks ago, I read a guy that pointed this out. He said, directly after Jesus makes this statement, he makes another statement. And the next statement that Jesus says is perhaps the most important statement that he makes from the cross. What is that? It is finished. And so could it be that number five, that Jesus drank to clear his voice, for it is finished? Could it be that the reason that Jesus asked for a drink in those moments, along with everything else that we have talked about here today, could it be that in those moments, Jesus wanted to make sure that his voice was loud and clear to declare both then and forevermore, it is finished? Could it be that Jesus needed to have that drink because the end was coming, the payment was full, and it was time to declare over death and hell, it is finished? Listen, I don't know where you're at or what resonates with you here today, but you need to know that Jesus paid a great price. He paid a great price. The sin debt that we owed, we could not pay for ourselves. And when Jesus hung on that cross, he paid the fullness. He paid it in full. And he said, it is finished. So that debtors, sinners like you and like me, can experience the freedom and the grace of Jesus Christ. And this is good news for every young child. Every boy and girl needs to hear that Jesus loved you so much that he died on the cross for your sin. And every old person that has gray in their beard like me and even older needs to hear Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for your sin. And you know how we know that it was real? You know how we know that it was paid in full, that the check cleared? Do you know how we know that it is finished? 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He didn't stay in that grave. He rose from the dead. He conquered death. And we know that right now he lives. He's at the right hand of God the Father, and he intercedes on our behalf. The joy of this Easter is not that Jesus died. The joy of this Easter is that it is finished. That the price that he paid was sufficient and that he paid it in full. So that all who believe, remember what he said. Well, can you put that scripture back up there one more time, Connor, that John 7 scripture? Look at the end of it. It says, whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Do you have the living water of Jesus flowing in you? Jesus thirsted on that cross so that we don't have to, so that we can be refreshed. Would you pray with me as we close? Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you for those three words on that cross. They seem so insignificant, yet they are so full of beautiful significance for each one. I am thirsty, you declared. But after you drank that wine vinegar, your throat was perfectly cleared to declare it is finished. And so, God, I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for the hope and the joy that we find through the cross and through that empty tomb. We pray that you would help us this Easter to see this story for what it is, our hope and our freedom. and that we would find joy and life in it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.